About anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to begin with to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you. And you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you are on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verses 1 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Then looking in the book of Psalms, Psalm 92, beginning at verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-stringed instrument, a harp, and the melody of a lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. O Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this. Though the wicked sprout like weeds and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. All evildoers will be scattered. But you have made me as strong as a wild ox. You have anointed me with the finest oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him." Father, we thank you once again for the power, the wisdom, the grace, the strength, the joy, and the encouragement that permeates your word. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that we reward ourselves when we're wise enough to open your word every day and spend time one-on-one with you as you speak words of blessing, words of empowerment, words of grace into our hearts, our minds, our lives. More and more empower us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word, and help us to be wise enough to graciously and wisely teach and train our children and our grandchildren and other young people to come to know Christ and to follow Christ in his word. Help us to know, Lord, in a greater way with every passing day, that life is about knowing Jesus and living for Jesus. Help us to be faithful to do it. And again, help us to teach and train and live before our children and grandchildren so that they too will follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for the power of your word. Thank you so much for the blessings that you've offered us. Thank you so much for the promises that you have for us. And Father, thank you so much for the gift of Jesus. Father, thank you so much that he was your living word, that he came as the full embodiment of your character and love. And Father, thank you so much that you've made a way for us to be in the likeness of him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I ask that we'd grow more hungry for scripture every day and that we'd grow more like you every day. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to continue to remind all of our listeners, we've had the privilege of having Brother Charlie Wysong with us a number of times, and he continues this wonderful project whereby he's seeking to help get 1 million yard signs of the Ten Commandments put out in our nation, and it's been going well. But I want to remind you that website is 10laws.us. Again, that's 10laws.us in order to learn more about the project, or if you'd like to get a copy of the Ten Commandments yard sign for yourself as well. I would encourage you to do it. If you've been listening over a period of time, you may have heard some of the wonderful testimonies of how God has used that witness in people's yards to touch people in the community. So we do hope that you will get involved. Again, go to that website, 10laws.us, to learn more or to order a Ten Commandments yard sign for your own yard as well. We are very blessed to have with us in studio today, once again, Briley Brown and her grandfather this time, Jody Brown, who is a part of our AFA family here as well. In studio, good to have you, Briley and Jody.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting me be here.
Good to have you once again. And Briley, I recall when you were with us before, you were coming to share as just a young teenager that has a wonderful testimony as an athlete as well. Remind us again now, your archery team came in what place? Tell us about that once again.
We were second in nationals last year.
Second in nationals. So not just state, but we're talking about the nation.
Oh, we won state. We won state 13 years in a row.
So. Okay. Well, I guess you know a little bit about archery then.
Just a little bit.
Okay. All right. But thank you for coming. And also you just shared about your faith. And we're very grateful to have you to come back once again. And her granddad, he didn't insist on being on the broadcast. I sort of had to drag him on, but we're grateful to have him on with us. And he's gonna, Jody's going to pray with us a little later. But Briley, you're going to share with us today a speech that you did on one of the Ten Commandments. And so if there's anything you'd like to share about the speech before you share it, I want to invite you to do that. But you're going to share the speech, and I want to mention, too, again, I really appreciate you taking the time to do it, in that because, you know, we here at AFR have had the Ten Commandments Project for a number of years and have had young people to do speeches on different, some of the different commandments and a topic related to the commandments as well. But I would mention that one of the things we've come to see is that it's a great discipleship project for any young person to get involved with. And we're grateful when young people will do it, because they learn and they grow through the process, as well as they produce a tool that the Holy Spirit can use to touch a lot of people. So anything you want to share with us before you share the speech about it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed writing this. I really did. Pro-life has been something that has been on my heart for a very, very long time. I mean, my grandpa knows, my grandmother knows, a lot of people know that about me, and it's a standpoint that I am not going to waver on. I'm going to argue that, because it is an incredibly strong belief within my heart that abortion is wrong.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to invite you to just go right ahead and share your speech then, okay?
The Ten Commandments are known to be a complete, uncomplicated set of rules. God states them in his word not once, not twice, but three full times. They are stated in Exodus 22-17, restated in Exodus 34:11-26, then once more in Deuteronomy 5:6-21. Over time, each of the commandments seem to have lost value in the collective mind of society. Taking the Lord's name in vain, coveting, honoring your parents, stealing, lying, these things don't make many flinch or even bat an eye in today's age. But one commandment still stands out: do not murder. This is the one that most of us find the easiest to follow, and realistically, it won't cross our minds, but even it is being accepted today. It is a well-known fact that society pushes for comfort and acceptance. If someone feels unhappy, called out, separated, or simply that someone does not agree with them, and what is now a customary reaction is to make a big deal and push to suppress those feelings by gaining what they consider to be acceptance or validation. Victim mentality is an epidemic and a drug. It seizes individuals and leads them to believe that they are right, Everyone must agree with them, and that if you are not with them, you are against them. Rights have morphed from freedom of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, to entitlement, unconditional acceptance, and the taking of lives. Not only everyone, but everything must be accepted in today's age. Even something as gut-wrenching as going completely against the sixth commandment of God's word, thou shalt not murder. However, like much else, it has been watered down and slapped with a cheap title, abortion. Abortion, the deliberate termination of a human pregnancy, is one of the leading controversial topics in today's society. However, to me, and hopefully to most believers, there is a non-negotiable standpoint on what is right and what is wrong, and abortion is completely wrong. While some argue for choice after a child is conceived, the choice was actually made before that moment of conception even occurred. That fertilized egg is a result, not a choice, and therefore women should not be given the choice of ending that life or not. As Margaret Heckler, former Secretary of Health, Welfare, and Education, said, "The right to life is not a woman's issue. The Lord is the giver of life, and only He can make choices about life. It is always a reward to have life. Only the Lord gives and takes it." Arguments supporting abortion are not hard to find, and many have and will meet me head-on with disagreements. Therefore, I'd like to address some of the attempts at rationalization that I've heard more frequently. Number one, it is not alive until there's a heartbeat. Life is defined as the condition that distinguishes animals and plants from inorganic matter, including the capacity for growth, reproduction, functional activity, and continual change preceding death. The question that this raises has an answer that will be dependent on that particular individual. Is potential viable for the end result? If you made cake batter, put it in a hot oven, and someone took it out of the oven before it finished baking and threw it against the wall, would the excuse, "it wasn't really a cake yet," justify that behavior? Had the intervention not been made and the process allowed to continue on its own, what would the result then be? Number two, teen pregnancy can happen after one mistake. Does that girl deserve to have her life completely altered and ruined because of her error? Consequences of actions must be dealt with in every aspect of life, not just in the situation of unwanted pregnancy. Every action has results, and those results may not always be positive. In the case of unwanted pregnancy, yes, at the time of discovery, it may seem detrimental and no doubt life-changing. Yet in the end, pregnancy may not always be a consequence. It can be the greatest blessing one has ever received, the gift of life. Pregnancy, teen or adult, does not determine if you are a good person or not. Everyone makes mistakes. Mistakes, faults, flaws, they are what make us who we are. Action and result, mistake and consequence. It may be tragic, but that baby does not deserve to be hurt from our mistakes as people. Number three, it's just a clump of cells. What is a cell? By its own scientific definition, it is a form of life. They are biologically functioning units on their own. They constitute every living organism in our world. Cells are alive and cells are life. Cells are what we are made up of, and they form every part of us. Those cells are alive, those cells are moving, and those cells are creating more cells. Therefore, you are ending the life of those cells. Number four, even if you were to give up the child for adoption, the foster care and adoption systems are corrupt, and there's no guarantee that they would even find a home or have a good life. Adoptions are one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, and the two I've seen in the courtroom have brought me to tears. The joy that couples have by adding to their family is unmatched. There are circumstances where the system is corrupt, but does any living thing deserve to die simply because it does not have a home? My dad gave a supportive reply during the writing of this essay that I consider to be a very compelling question to consider. What gives any of us the right to decide if someone is allowed to be given a chance at life, regardless of its circumstances and final outcome? The same logic that is being fabricated in order to rationalize the decision of ending a life due to it being my body and my choice, is it not immediately contradicted by not allowing another human life to make the decision of protecting its own body? Number five, what if the pregnancy came from incest or rape? This is probably the most prevalent argument that I've heard, and I want to start out by saying that rape is a horrible, horrific act that no woman should ever have to experience. But just because something is horrible does not mean we can escape its reality and that it does not need to be addressed. At the end of the day, it comes down to what you believe and what morals you hold within your heart. What faith is, what gives us hope, what keeps us going is the ability to see something bad and make something good out of it, and abortion is no exception. The worst happened, yes, but that mother can either let Satan take control and rob this world of another life, or she can stand.
You're listening to a speech by Briley Brown, and we'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back. music of Elevation Worship with Grateful. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guests today are Briley Brown and her grandfather, Jody Brown, who is a part of our AFA family here as well. And Briley was in the midst of sharing a pro-life speech specifically dealing with the commandment, you shall not murder. And Briley, if you'll just pick up at this point, please.
Number four, even if you were to give the child up for adoption, the foster care and adoption systems are corrupt and there's no guarantee that they would even find a home or have a good life. Adoptions are one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, and the two I've seen in the courtroom have brought me to tears. The joy that couples have by adding to their family is unmatched. There are circumstances where the system is corrupt, but does any living thing deserve to die simply because it does not have a home? My dad gave a supportive reply during the writing of this essay that I considered to be a very compelling question to consider. What gives any of us the right to decide if someone is allowed to be given a chance at life, regardless of its circumstances and final outcome? The same logic that is being fabricated in order to rationalize the decision of ending a life due to it being my body and my choice, is it not immediately contradicted by not allowing another human life to make the decision of protecting its own body? What if the pregnancy came from incest or rape? This is probably the most prevalent argument that I have heard, and I want to start out by saying that rape is a horrible, horrific act that no woman should ever have to experience. But just because something is horrible does not mean we can escape its reality and that it does not need to be addressed. At the end of the day, it comes down to what you believe and what morals you hold within your heart. What faith is, what gives us hope, what keeps us going is the ability to see something bad and make something good out of it, and abortion is no exception. The worst happened, yes, but that mother can either let Satan take control and rob this world of another life, or she can stand in the face of that hurt and she can carry that baby to term. Whether she keeps it is her choice, but what matters is that the child she grew is breathing and is given a chance. Life is opportunity. If the victim is a child, then in the end it should be the mother's decision what happens to that baby after it is born based on what she believes and on what God calls her to do. What truly matters is that, in the face of evil, the choice was made to instead do good. In the end, one's opinion should be rooted in facts, but morals are the basis. What are your opinions centered around? What is the basis of your worldview? I know for a fact that my opinions and worldview are centered around a loving, good, and holy God and what he tells me. As David states in Psalms, he knits life together, and each individual life is fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful speech, Briley. Thank you so much for sharing that. Tell me this, Briley, did you learn anything that you didn't already know in the midst of your preparation and research of doing your speech?
Not too much in particular. I have done my best to stay educated on this topic for several years now. I've watched a lot of interviews on Ben Crowder. I don't know if you know who that is, but he does a lot of interviews with people, and he'll argue with pro-choice people. So okay. I've learned a lot from him, mm-hmm. a lot from podcasts, a lot from just direct research. So,
okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. Good. Well, tell me this. Have you happened to have done this speech at your church?
I have not. This is the first time I've ever written a speech on this, actually.
Okay. Would you consider asking your pastor for the opportunity to share the speech at church?
I would consider that. I don't know how that would go over. Our church is pretty big, and I haven't seen a lot of people do stuff along those lines.
Well, let me tell you why I'm sharing that. A part of the project, we challenge all the young people to ask their pastors. Now, let me just say this from my perspective. If I had young folks that asked me to do this, I'd put them up 52 Sundays out of a year. But I realize every church is different. But would you consider asking your pastor for that opportunity?
I can do that for sure.
Okay. And of course, whatever he says is what he says. But let me say this too. This is not just a nice thing to do as a part of the project. We live in a culture that desperately needs to hear the kind of truth you shared in your speech. Young people need to hear it, and adults need to hear it as well. So please do ask, and I would encourage you to prayerfully consider looking for other venues to share it as well. Now, keep in mind, when this broadcast is done, the podcast is available for you to take and use on social media however you wish to. But one of our goals is to share truth, just like you've shared in your speech, that our society needs to hear. So again, thank you so much for being willing to share it. And please let us know what your pastor says, okay?
Absolutely.
but seriously, we hope that you will have the opportunity to share it in that venue and maybe others as well then. So thank you so much. Jody, just a brief question before I ask you to pray as well, though. But tell me, how did you feel as you listened to your granddaughter share a powerful speech about truths that our culture needs to hear as well. What comes to your mind?
Well, it reminds me a lot of what is said in the Old Testament about passing along the word, the truth from the Bible to your children and your grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Briley basically grew up in our house,
mm-hmm.
and so we got to be around her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I guess the word that comes to mind, it's fulfilling.
Amen.
To see where she is in her faith right now. Like all of us, she has struggled with standing for your faith throughout her life, but I think she's at a point now where obviously she's able to write about her faith and speak about her faith. Interestingly, she has an aunt named Heather, mm-hmm. who in high school out in California, she was very pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
And Heather told us that, I don't know if you know this story, Briley, that Heather would be involved in a pro-life, pro-choice debate in her class.
Mm-hmm.
And she would raise her hand to speak, but her teacher would not call on her because the teacher knew of the side that Heather mm-hmm. would come down on the argument.
Mm-hmm.
And so Heather would sit there with her hand up in the air for a long time until she got called on. Mm-hmm. So it's from one generation to the next. It reminded me of that, the importance of passing along the truth, whether it be about abortion, whether it be about any issue in life, mm-hmm. Standing for your faith, that to see that passed along a generation just fulfilling. I can't help but feel some pride, but I know it's God working in our lives, in her grandma's life and in my life, and being with her as she was growing up and just living our faith mm-hmm. out in front so she could see that.
Amen. Amen. Jody, would you take time now to pray for, obviously, for Briley, but just for young people as well to come to both know Christ and then to become bold witnesses, because there's such a need for that kind of witness in our culture today. Young people that will stand up and speak truth to a nation that desperately needs to hear.
Sure.
Okay.
Gracious Father, we just count it an honor and a privilege to be counted among your children. And it's not because we're any better than anybody else, but Father, it's because we have just understand that we cannot do things on our own. It must take the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. I do pray, Father, for those young believers, strong in their faith, in their schools, even in their families and their communities, that they would press on, even when discouraged, even when put down, even when ridiculed. And no one likes to be ridiculed or put down, Father, but even when that happens, to understand that the foundation upon which they are standing, the truth at which they are speaking, is eternal. It's not going to go away. It's not going to change. And Father, we need to be reminded that regardless of what happens here in this life, that we are here just temporarily. And a lot of us believe now, Father, that time is short. So I want to impress upon young people that do believe that the Bible is the God-inspired word.
Yes, Lord.
That they would understand that promise, that vow that you made to eternity with you is true, that it's not fantasy, it's not made up by men, and that because time is short, they need to speak out and take as many people as they can with them to heaven. Father, give them the boldness, give them the strength, give them the words, just as you've given Briley in this essay, to speak in love and not be ashamed, not to be reluctant to share those words, and understand, Father, that you are with them in their efforts to share your truth. Give them the strength to press on despite ridicule, despite being chastised, despite being marginalized sometimes, that the faith they have in you is worth it all.
Yes,
it's worth it all, Father. So I just pray for those young folks in their schools, whether it be junior high, elementary, high school, college, whatever, Father, that they would stand for your truth and live it out and just press on. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jody. Briley, would you had one or two passages you were going to share with us, and then afterwards I'm going to ask you to pray for young people in our culture, peers and other young people that they would come to know Christ and then to be genuinely discipled in such a way that they can become warriors in and of themselves. But would you read the scriptures that you're going to share and then pray then? Okay.
So first I'm going to read Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people, and he crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands, to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment of the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his saints. Praise the Lord.
All right. And what psalm was that again?
149.
149, okay.
And I'm going to be reading Philippians 4 now.
Okay.
Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Jesus Christ. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Briley. Now, would you just lift up young people that they would come to know Christ and then be genuinely discipled?
Dear Lord, I lift up people my age. I lift up people younger than me, and I lift up people older than me. I lift up anyone who is impressionable and who is part of this society and who can make a difference. And I just pray that their hearts would be open to you and that their opinions would not be rooted in how they feel and that they would not be conforming truth to suit their needs and that they would see your truth and that they would know that you love them and that all you want is the best for them and your glory is better than anything that we could possibly find on this earth. Sin is intoxicating and it may seem fun at times, but nothing brings more joy than serving you and giving you all the glory for everything that you have done, all this that you have created for us. I pray that you would let Christians my age and older and younger to be a light to those people, to not be shy about our faith, to stand out and stand up for what we believe in and show people your truth. Because if we don't make a difference, if we don't set the stage, then the people younger than us aren't going to know what to do. They're just going to follow in footsteps that aren't what they need to be following in. It's not going to be good for us. It's not going to be good for society if we don't stand up and we don't make a difference. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us here and giving me the words to speak this day.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Briley. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, and we've had the privilege of hearing a Ten Commandments speech on You Shall Not Murder by Briley Brown. We'll be right back. Planet Shakers with Heaven on Earth. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, we were privileged to have with us for the first two segments Briley Brown and her grandfather, Jody Brown, who's a part of our AFA family. And Briley shared a powerful pro-life speech on the Sixth Commandment, You Shall Not Murder. And for the balance of the broadcast, we want to share a couple, one or two articles that, again, we're encouraging you to email us to get copies of, with the goal of then being good discipleship tools for you to use in your own walk with the Lord, to also help disciple your family, but also to share with and to forward to any and everyone the Lord leads you to share it with, fellow church members, co-workers on the job, saved and unsaved individuals, family members, whoever you're led. This first article is entitled, The Child Warrior. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God. I'm sorry. That was Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9 that I read. Excuse me. And now we're going to Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Spiritual warfare is a reality of life. Life is not a playground. Life is not a beach. Life is a battlefield. So it's critical also that we understand that life is not a game. It's not a game in which those who oppose you think themselves to be bound by a certain set of rules. The devil is our enemy, plain and simple. He hates all people, especially people of faith. This is the truth for every man and woman on earth. But know that this is not reason for any believer to despair. Be mindful that Christ told us, "But take heart, I have overcome the world," John 16:33. A reality that we must be aware of is that spiritual warfare is a reality for children and youth as much as it is a reality for adults. This reality doesn't change for children and youth just because they're young. The devil isn't trying to give children a break. He doesn't care about children. He hates children as much as he hates adult human beings. A picture of how the devil feels about children can be seen in the reality of abortion. Abortion is a clear demonstration of how the devil feels about children. He hates them and wants to destroy them. Well, in view of these truths, we as followers of Christ would be wise to do our part to very effectively equip our children for the battlefield of life. We would be wise to seek to equip them as young warriors that every day have to step out on the same battlefield as adults. How tragic it is to see in the news, we see children as simply tragic casualties too often in the spiritual warfare of life. Some of the news reflects insights such as these: teens murdering other teens, youth and children committing suicide, very young children hooked on drugs and selling them, children bullying other children, and the list could go on and on. Why would we want them to be warriors? Well, we're wise to seek to help them to become Christian warriors, spiritual warriors, because this helps them to be in the most advantageous position in life that they can be in. And that position is in knowing Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior and living a life boldly following him. That's a Christian warrior. So now, allow me to define a Christian warrior. The following are some traits of a strong Christian warrior. He or she is a person who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her personal Lord and Savior. This person is growing spiritually as he or she becomes a diligent student of the Word of God, probably reading and meditating on at least 3 chapters in the Word of God every day. This believer is also a person of prayer, one who makes time to spend significant time in prayer every single day. This follower of Christ also is seeking to live out the Word of God in his or her daily life and lifestyle. This believer is faithfully seeking to be a witness for Christ, learning to faithfully share the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever he or she may go. Also, this believer is also faithfully involved in making disciples, encouraging believers to grow and grow strong in their walk with Christ. Well, one might ask, are these characteristics of a warrior, a spiritual warrior, that should be taught to children and youth as well as adults? Absolutely, yes. Why is that true? Again, because they too have to step out on the same battlefield that we as adults have to walk onto every day. It's critical that we as parents and adults not send our children onto the battlefields of life with quote-unquote sticks and stones. At the same time, we see the enemy with spiritual guns, missiles, grenades, etc. Parents, know this. The Word of God is an atomic bomb. How critical it is that we equip our children with it, with the Word, as their main weapon in all of life. Ephesians 6 paints a powerful picture of how the kingdom warrior ought to be equipped. How important it is that we help equip our children with the ongoing work of filling their hearts and minds with the powerful Word of God. Parents, we wisely help equip our children as warriors as we have them to read the Word of God out loud to us on a daily basis. We fruitfully prepare them for the battlefield of life as we teach and train them to memorize the Word of God and to learn to pray the Word of God every day. We wisely are molding and shaping our children to be followers of Christ as we teach them how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to encourage other believers in their daily Bible reading and in prayer. We are graciously equipping our young saints as we teach them to give generously to the work of the kingdom of God. We very strategically prepare them for battle as we model before them a life of boldly living for Christ in our everyday lives. When we believers fail to disciple and boldly equip our children to be kingdom warriors, We leave them to be like civilians in the middle of battle, with no weapons to adequately defend themselves. And too often, civilians simply become some of the first casualties of any war. So should we be training our children to become kingdom warriors? As Ephesians 6 teaches us, absolutely yes. Again, the title of that article was The Child Warrior. And this final article we want to share is simply entitled A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project. Luke 2:11, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then Deuteronomy 6:1-3. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it. How encouraging, uplifting, and inspiring it is for believers to take time to read, meditate, and think about the beautiful, glorious, and grace-filled narratives we know as the Christmas stories. They're found in Matthew 1-2 and Luke 1-2. What a great tragedy it is that so many children have never read the Christmas narratives or Christmas story in their entirety. Here is a project specifically for grandparents during the Christmas season to help address that. Let each of your grandchildren know that you'd like for them to do the following for you. Call you every day for 8 days during Advent or during the month of December. And during each call, read a portion of the Christmas narratives out loud. Here's one possible reading plan you could use and share with your grandchildren. For children that are 8 years old or older, read day one. This is what you can read day one, Matthew 1. Day two, Matthew 2. Day three, Luke 1:1-20. And the next day, Luke 1:21-37. The next day, Luke 1:38-56. The next day, Luke 1:57-80. The next day, Luke 2:1-20. Then the next day, Luke 2:21-38. And the next day, Luke 2:39-52. For children younger than eight, you might simply have them read shorter passages that you select from these same chapters in Matthew and Luke. Or you may even choose to have them read the same passage each time. Let them know that you'll give them $1, $5, or whatever figure you prayerfully come up with each time they call you up and read for you. For many a grandchild, that isn't particularly motivating to read unless the money prize is included. The money prize has a strange way of suddenly causing some of the older grandchildren sometimes to all of a sudden become highly motivated to do what Granddaddy and Grandmom has asked. Why is a project like this such a fruitful one? Allow me to share with you several reasons. The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. When our children and grandchildren read the Word of God, they're spending time listening to and fellowshipping with Jesus. And for many a child, a grandparent doing this kind of project may be the only person in his or her life that is having them to read the Word of God out loud to them. There's nothing in all of the world that will bless and nourish the lives of our children and grandchildren more than the Word of God in all of its power. And for time reasons, we're going to stop there. But please do email us if you'd like to get a copy of each of the articles. The first article is entitled The Child Warrior. And this second article is entitled A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project. Please email us to get copies of both so you can have and put to good use. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a wonderful day to give your life to Christ and be saved and receive Him as Lord and Savior. If you want to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. That email, once again, is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please email us to get that. Again, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Thanks for listening. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.